You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, I'm In. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. That is what I'm In, Run by Faith, is all about. That's why we're challenging you. That's why we're calling you to a whole new level. That's why I'm asking you to run by faith. That's why I'm asking you to run with purpose. That's why I'm asking you to run with commitment. That's why I'm asking you to run today with sacrifice. Because the stakes are very, very high. And here at New Point, we believe that everybody spends forever somewhere. And so I'm glad that you're here today. And if this happens to be your first time, we're glad that you're here. You're going to learn a little bit more about why we do what we do and what makes us tick and what would call us to run by faith and to run with purpose and to run with commitment and today to run with sacrifice. So you're going to see a little bit of our heart today, and we're glad that you're here. So today I want to talk to you about running with sacrifice. Running with sacrifice. Because if we're going to be able to be all that God wants us to be, sacrifice has to be a part of that equation. Matter of fact, it's one of our vows. It's one of the things that we value here, and that is sacrifice. It goes like this. We give up things we love for the things we love even more. We believe it is more blessed to give than to receive through our service and giving. And so sacrifice is one of our values. It's one of the things that guides us. And so we call one another to a life of sacrifice. And so I want to do that today. And so let's look at this familiar verse that we've been going back to over and over again. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And Paul is writing to a church, and he's basically challenging them to run by faith and to run with purpose and commitment and even sacrifice. And he brings the analogy of an athlete. Because if you're going to be an athlete, and if you're going to win, you got to have all of those a part of your life. And so here's what he says. He says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Then he says this powerful statement, run in such a way to get the prize. And we've been calling one another to run in such a way to get the prize. Run with faith, run with purpose, run with commitment, and run with sacrifice. He goes on to share how you and I can do this. He says, everyone who competes in the games go into strict training. They sacrifice. They say no to some things so they can say yes to something else. They do it to get a crown that will not last. It'll be here and gone. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. He says our stakes are even higher. The race that we're called to is much, much greater and more significant than that of an athlete. He goes on to say this, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating against the air. Goes on, he says, no, I strike a blow to my body and I make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He gives us a picture here of sacrifice. He says, let me tell you about how I'm running. I put a blow to my body and I make it a slave. Basically, what he is saying is, I make sacrifices. I give up things that I love for the things that I love even more. And that's what I'm calling all of us here today to do. If New Point is your family, I'm calling you to give up some things that you love for things that you love more. so that you and I can be able to be that which God has called you and I to be. So how do we do this? How do we strike a blow? And how do we make ourselves a slave so that what happens is we can run and run to win? I want to give you a couple of things, and you can follow along in your note-taking guide there today. But let me just give you some very simple yet profound things that you and I have a tendency to forget. And I just want to remind us, because if we don't remind ourselves, we won't run with sacrifice. We just won't. We'll just live a normal life. And so I want to remind us of some things. Here's the first thing. If we're going to run with sacrifice, we've got to acknowledge God's ownership. We have to acknowledge God's ownership. That He is the owner of everything. Of everything. And that you and I are stewards. That you and I are entrusted with some things for a little time. That's it. You see, David said this in 1 Chronicles 29, 14, a man after God's own heart. He said, "Everything we have has come from you. Lord, we can only give you what is yours already." Wow. What is he doing here? He's acknowledging that God is the owner of everything, that everything that I have has come from you. And if you and I are going to run with sacrifice, we have to acknowledge that. Have you been there? I'm sure you have. You know, I remember when our kids were young, and we would take them to McDonald's. And many times, you know, we would go there, and I'm not necessarily big on McDonald's food, okay? But our kids loved those Happy Meals. And so we would buy the Happy Meal, and I would just wait it out and probably get something to eat back home. But we would buy these Happy Meals, and we would spread the food out over the table, and I would sit there, and I would be engaged in talking to one of our kids, and Patty would be there, and I would reach for a French fry. Yeah, you know what, I got my hands smacked. And they said, "No, these are my fries. Go get your own." And it was stunning. I mean, it just stunned me. It was unbelievable. Because when I instinctively went to reach for a fry, they corrected me. They put me in my place. And when I think about that, I think, you know what? You have forgotten some things. You need to acknowledge some things. First of all, you have forgotten that I'm the source of your French fries. I'm the one who bought them. I'm the one who's providing them for you. I walked up to the counter, I bought the fries. Don't you realize that? Don't you acknowledge that? Don't you understand that? And without me, you would have no French fries. I am the source of the French fries. The second thing that they forgot is I control the French fries. Okay? I'm the controller of the French fries. I could take them away instantly and immediately from them and say, "You know what? You're not going to have any more French fries. If you're going to be stingy, if you're going to be selfish, you're not going to have them." Or guess what I could do? I could go up there and buy so many French fries that they would come out their nostrils. They would be sick of the French fries. I could just load them with tons and tons and tons of French fries. And the third thing that they didn't recognize is I really didn't need their French fries. I could buy my own. I could just as easily go up to the counter and buy my own French fries for myself. But what I really wanted them to learn was to be unselfish. What I really wanted them to learn to be is generous. What I really wanted them to learn is to be able to sacrifice and to be able to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm blessed, so I'm going to bless you." And if you and I are going to run with sacrifice, we have to acknowledge God's ownership. It says like this in the NIV. It says, "Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generous as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." You see, every time you and I give to God an offering, what we have to acknowledge is, you know what? You control the fries. You're the one who has blessed me with them. Everything comes from you. And when I do that, what happens is my attitude shifts on this whole thing that is called sacrifice. And so I need to be able to acknowledge God's ownership, that he owns all the fries. And he has the power to take them away, or he has the power to just load them on me. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. I need to focus on the eternal. If I'm going to run with sacrifice, I not only need to acknowledge God's ownership, that he's the owner of everything, but I need to be able to focus on the eternal. The Hebrew writer puts it like this. It is appointed for men to die once, but after that, the judgment. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you thought about that one? See, we are arrogant. We think we're going to live forever. I like to say that none of us know how old we are. I'm 56 years old. I know I don't look like it, but take it by faith, I am. I'm 56 years old. If I'm going to live as old as my dad died when he was 96. I'm a young man. That's 40 years. But if I'm going to die by the time I'm 60, within 4 years, I'm an old man. See, nobody knows how long we're going to be here. That's why Scripture would tell us to number our days, that life is but a vapor. And so what happens is I have to realize that there's more to this life than just living and dying. Because the tendency in you and the tendency in me is to put off things. And yet what the writer says there is appointed for men once to die, and then after that, the judgment. And the judgment there means that we get rewarded. Okay? If we've accepted Jesus Christ, we get rewarded to live with him forever and ever. And then he will look at your life, and he will look at my life, and he will reward you and I for what we've done in the body. If I've never accepted Jesus Christ, then at the judgment, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You chose not to accept me in this life, and so you can have eternity without me. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today you can. We're going to celebrate what he did for you and me today through his sacrifice. And you can pray a simple yet life-transforming prayer of just saying, God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to make me the man, the woman, the person that you want me to be. Because I realize that one day I'm going to die and I'm going to face you. And I want to live for you forever and ever and ever. And so we need to be able to focus on the eternal. And realize, hey, you know what? At best, life is brief. And then I'm going to be rewarded for what I've done here. And so I need to focus on the eternal. You see, you and I are going to spend more time on that side of the grave than we are on this side of the grave. My father lived to be 96 years old. You know what? It wasn't long enough. It wasn't long enough. It was brief. It was but a vapor. And so Paul challenges the church back at Corinth. This church that he said, run and run in such a way to get a prize. Here's what he tells them. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know what he's saying? We came in the world with nothing. We're going to leave the world with nothing. And so fix your eyes on the eternal. Okay? You can't take anything with you, but you can send it on ahead by investing in the kingdom of God. And so we have to focus on the eternal. Here's the third thing that we need to do. We need to realize the benefits. We need to realize the benefits of sacrifice. There's benefits of sacrifice. And this is so, so hard because what happens is we live in a day and age of entitlement. We feel that other people owe us things. Well, I'm just entitled to this. And so the word sacrifice is foreign to many, many people. And so what happens is for me to be able to sacrifice, I have to understand the benefit. Well, what's going to be the benefit of me sacrificing? Okay? Why do you think they have all these Weight Watcher pictures on TV? Okay? They have the before and they have the after. They say, you know what? I used to wear this size of jeans and now I'm wearing this size of jeans. What they're saying is it's worth the sacrifice. Okay? You can get in those old jeans if you want to. They're letting you know and they're helping you and I to realize that if you're willing to sacrifice in this area, there's a what? There's a payoff. And so it is in the spiritual realm as well. Jesus reminds us of the benefit when he said this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where the moth and the vermin destroy and where the thieves break in and steal. He goes on to say this, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Here's the benefit when we do that. Where moth and the vermin do not destroy, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Wow. You know what he's saying? Got to realize the benefit. Got to realize the benefit. And so don't store up things here on earth because you know what? They're going to be taken away from you. Store up things in heaven and realize the benefit that they will be there when you're there. And so what are those benefits that you and I need to realize when you and I sacrifice? What are some of those benefits that come into your life and in my life? Let me give them to you, okay? Here's one. One is it just makes me more like God. Every time I sacrifice, it makes me more like God. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave. Whenever you and I give, we're like God. Whether it's our time, our talent, or our treasure. It also draws me closer to God. It draws me closer to God because he says that where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. You want to know where your heart is? Follow the money. Follow the money. All right? That's what they all say. Follow the money. And you will find out what you really love. Because whatever you love is what gets your money. It gets your attention. And so when I invest in God's kingdom, in God's work, you know what? What happens is it draws me closer to God because he has my heart. It also breaks the grip of materialism. I mean, I think we would all agree that we live in a materialistic society, wouldn't we? Absolutely. You know what? There's only one way that you can break the grip of materialism. Only one way. You can pray about it all you want to. It'll never happen. The only way that you can break the grip of materialism is by giving. By giving. That's the only way. You'll never break it. You'll never break it. And so it breaks the materialism. Here's another benefit. It makes an investment in eternity. We just read about that. It just makes an investment. That's one of the benefits. I get to invest in eternity that will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then you know what else it does? It blesses me in return. When I sacrifice, when I give, it blesses me in return. Listen, the happiest people I know are the most generous people I know. Jesus said it like this, blessed are they that give. They're happy because that's what God has wired you and I up for. And so if we're going to run with sacrifice, if we're going to run with sacrifice, what happens is we have to be able to acknowledge that God's the owner, okay? He owns all the French fries. He's the controller of the French fries, okay? He can take them away or he can bless us with many, many more. We also have to focus on the eternal. Okay, that means beyond what you and I know as 80 years or 100 years. And then we need to realize the benefit. We need to realize the benefit of sacrificing for a greater cause. Now, we all struggle with this. Because you know what? We are people of instant gratification. Instant gratification. And so when we are gripped by instant gratification, we don't sacrifice. And this has always been the case with mankind. It was the case with Peter. Peter was talking to Jesus because he was finding out different things. And you know what? He was saying, hey, dude, we're giving our life. We've dropped our nets. We left our boats. We've come to follow you. What's in it for us? Because isn't that what we're all interested in? What's in it for us? If I sacrifice for this, if I give this, what's in it for me? That's what Peter was asking one day. And here's what Jesus said. He said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. That's what you're going to receive, Peter. Don't forget it. Realize the blessing. Yeah, I'm calling you to sacrifice, but don't forget the benefit. Don't forget the benefit. And he goes on to say this, for many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And that's not for a day or a week. That's for all of eternity. And Jesus said, hey, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Why? Because the people who were last here on earth were willing to sacrifice. They realized the benefit of investing in eternity. And so if you and I are going to run with sacrifice, we have to realize this. Here's the fourth thing, and that is this. I need to recognize my deep debt. I need to recognize my deep debt. You see, listen to me. All of us here today are debtors. You're in debt to somebody. And you know who you're mostly indebted to? God. See, Paul said it like this. Paul said, I am a debtor. See, Paul ran with faith. He ran with purpose. He ran with commitment. He ran with sacrifice. And people literally thought he was out of his mind. They literally thought he was out of his mind. Why would you do that, Paul? Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Why don't you chill out a little bit? Paul comes back to the people who he challenged to run this race and run to win with these words. He says, for Christ's love compels me, or compels us. You want to know why I sacrifice? You want to know why I'm committed? You want to know why I'm running by faith? Because Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You see, Paul understood that he was a debtor. Listen to me. You know why you've lost the edge in your relationship with Christ? Because you have forgotten that you're a debtor. Anybody who forgets that they're a debtor, you lose your edge with your walk with God. Because you don't understand the price that he paid for you. Something that was unbelievable that my father experienced and I was able to experience with him. There was a man from Normandy, France. His name was Cherry. And he learned about my father. And he wrote our family and he said, I want to meet your father. And he says, I want to come and I want to thank him for his service. You see, my father was in the 101st Airborne. Screaming Eagles. He jumped in D-Day in Normandy. And what Cherry had done is Cherry had learned of the 200 men who had jumped in Normandy. And guess what? They jumped on his grandfather's farm. And he said, I remember my grandfather telling me that the Germans were all throughout our farmhouse. And they had put us down on the floor. And they were ready to take us captive when suddenly we saw people coming out of the clouds. And it was American soldiers. And they came there and they liberated not only my family, not only our farm, not only our town, Normandy, but all of France. And he said, I want to come and I want to thank him. I want to thank him. What would compel a man to do that? We said, hey, we'll put you up. Oh, no. You're not paying for any of this. I will pay for the full ticket, and I will pay for all of my accommodations. And you know what he did? He spent 45 minutes at the most with my father. That's it. He walked into the room. He shook my father's hand, and he said, Mr. Mason, you're my hero. He said, you saved my family. You saved our town. You saved our country, and I'm indebted to you. See, he realized he was a debtor. You know what? Jesus Christ did more than just save our town or our country. He saved us, that we could be with him forever and ever. And I need to recognize my deep, deep debt to God. And whenever I forget that, I lose my edge. I lose my edge. Let me give you this last one, and it is this. Remember Jesus' sacrifice. Remember Jesus' sacrifice. You see, God does not ask you and I to do anything that he himself has not modeled before us. And just in a few minutes, we're going to take communion. And that's where we take the bread, which represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for you and me. We're going to take the cup of juice, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives you and I of all of our sins. And we're going to remember his sacrifice. That because he loved you and me, and he sacrificed for you and me, you and I can be made whole, you and I could be forgiven. You see, Paul tells the church at Corinth again, he says, remember the generosity of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because if you don't remember the generosity of Jesus Christ, we will live for ourselves and ourselves only. And so remember the generosity of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what is that? Well, he tells us here in Romans. He says, we aren't saved from sin's grasp by knowing the commandments of God because we can't and don't keep them. I think we'd all agree with that. But God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours and destroyed sin's control over us by giving himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So, brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him. And then he closes out with this question. When you think of what he's done for you, is it too much to ask? Wow. So how do you run with sacrifice? You acknowledge God's ownership. You focus on the eternal. Okay, you focus, you realize the benefits. You recognize your deep, deep debt to God, and you remember his sacrifice. And so we're asking you to sacrifice unashamedly. That's who we are here at New Point. And I encourage you to walk through this generosity ladder. And to be able to say, God, what's my step in showing true sacrifice? For some of us, we've never given to New Point. So your sacrifice might be just to start giving to New Point. For some of us, we might give here and there, but we don't give consistently. So your sacrifice might be to just give consistently. For others of you, you give consistently, but you don't give a tithe. So your sacrifice would be, I'm going to begin to tithe. For others of us, you might tithe, and your sacrifice might be, hey, you know what? I'm going to say no to a few things so that I can give above a tithe. And then for others, you know what? You might just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to change my lifestyle. Hello. I'm going to give up the things that I love for the things that I love more, and I'm going to make a lifestyle change, and I'm going to give. As I shared with you, Patty and I have already worked through this. And we're giving above and beyond what we've already given or what we normally give, okay? And that's what we're asking people to do, to give above and beyond what you're giving right now. That's why it's called a sacrifice. And we're going to give a third of my salary over the next 2 years. You say, why? Because God owns it all. Why? Because I want to focus on the eternal. Why? Because I realize the benefit. Why? Because I recognize my great debt. Why? Because I remember Jesus' sacrifice for me. See, this is where the rubber meets the road, folks. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so we're going to do that. And whatever I get from speaking here and there, you know what? We're throwing that. We're saying, okay, God, you get to put the limit on that. How much do you want? Okay, open up the doors. We're going to check you out on that, all right? And so I want you to know this. And I want you to know it for a number of reasons. One is I want to keep growing. I don't want to lose my edge. I want to keep growing in my own walk with God. I want to be able to develop my faith. And the best way that I know to develop my faith is through giving. And I want God to challenge me more and more and more and more and more. I think more about the next life than I do about the life that I'm living right now. I'm 56 years old. So I want to keep growing. I want you to know, as one of your pastors, that I will never ask you to sacrifice more than me. You'll never sacrifice more than me. You may sacrifice as much as me, but I'm not going to let you out-sacrifice me. Are y'all okay on that one? So I'm not going to ask you to do something that I myself am not willing to do. Because I feel as a leader, leaders go first. And then here's the third reason. You know what Patty and I have learned? You just can't outgive God. You just can't outgive God. He gives me everything that I have. My relationships, my home, the bed that I sleep in, my friends, the air that I breathe right now is a gift from God. And I've just come to the conclusion, can't outgive God. And so I encourage you and your family to pray and just say, God, what do you want to do through me so that your vision might be fulfilled here at New Point? And so in light of that, we're going to partake of communion. And in a few moments, they're going to come and they're going to serve you. And if you are a Christ follower, you are free to participate in this. If you're not a Christ follower and you have no desire to follow Christ, I just ask you to exempt from this, because this really doesn't pertain to you, because it's for those who have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we'll honor you, and we ask that you would honor us in that. And then for those of us who are participating, I want you to think about those five things. And I want you to be reminded of God's great love for you and for me. And I want you to listen to these words, and let them sink deep in your heart. And just say, God, speak. Just speak. And let's run with sacrifice. You see, the world at its worst needs a church at its best. And we want to be that. And so, Father, we thank you today for who you are. God, we thank you for your great, great love. And we thank you for inviting us into this race. And we want to run, and we want to run to win. We want to run to win. And we know for that to happen, we can't do it without sacrificing. And so today, as we are reminded of your generosity, your great sacrifice for us, I pray that you would speak to us and that we would recognize the debt that we owe, and that we would not forget it, that we would not lose our edge, and that we would just ask you, God, in light of what you've done for me, what do you want me to do for you? And that we would say yes, knowing that it makes us more like you and it draws us closer to you. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.